everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about topics that are really important for us to know about because they allow us to make informed decisions, and that's what this program is all about, allowing you to make the best decisions possible regarding your health and well-being of your family. So before we have another one of those really wonderful conversations, I want to welcome people who may be listening for the first time, and I invite you to go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, and my Facebook page is also What Women Must Know, and both of those places are great opportunities to get more information, special reports, especially because I post on my Facebook page on a daily basis with great information. So it's whatwomenmustknow.com and also What Women Must Know for my Facebook page. And I have one other announcement I want to share with you. And that is I am taking a group of people. I'm inviting you to come to an amazing retreat center called Rhythmia Life Advancement Center in Costa Rica for a one-week total makeover. I mean physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We're going to this amazing healing spa, transformational center, cleansing retreat. All of that goes on there. I am also facilitating my Rejuvenation Code workshop at the same time. So in addition to having amazing healing treatments and hydrotherapy and massages and mud baths and organic food, and if you choose to have some time with phenomenal, traditionally trained shaman doing some plant medicine ceremonies, which I've talked about before on my radio shows, you will also have an opportunity to learn from me and be with me and learn how to get younger and healthier. So if you want to know more about this program, which is August 20th until August 27th, so that's that whole week, then I suggest you go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. I'll have more information there. And then you can contact me if you want to know more, or you can contact Rhythmia directly to find out everything that's going on there. I have to say I was there earlier in the year. It has changed my life in so many ways, and that's why I'm going back and inviting you to change your life. Nothing like change to expand your horizon. So check it out. I'd love to have you join me. Okay, so one of my favorite topics is talking about women and their hormones. Today we're going to be talking about hormone myths and hormone truths for women over the age of 40 with one of my favorite guests, Dr. Christine Horner. And just a little bit about Dr. Horner. She is a nationally known surgeon, author, and professional speaker and holds two board certifications, the National Board of Surgery and the National Board of Plastic Surgery. Dr. Horner was recognized as a leader in her field shortly after starting her plastic and reconstructive surgery practice because she successfully ran a national campaign to pass laws requiring insurance companies to pay for breast reconstruction following mastectomy. Her five-year crusade with the Breast Reconstruction Advocacy Project led to the passage of an unprecedented federal law that was signed by President Bill Clinton in 1998, requiring insurance companies to pay for this specific surgical procedure. Dr. Horner is the award-winning author of Waking the Warrior Goddess, and Horner also has a new book called Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty. So it's always a pleasure to learn from her wealth of information and wisdom. And welcome Dr. Christine Horner to the show today.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be back with you.
Well, it is great to have you back. You've been on the show a couple of times, and you always have wonderful things to share with my listeners. And because hormones is a favorite topic of mine as well, I thought this is a great conversation where we can talk about the myths, the truths, some of the things that you're really learning and promoting for women, really women of all ages, but we're kind of focusing on the perimenopausal, menopausal, and postmenopausal women, how to have radiant health and ageless beauty, which is something I'm all for.
Yeah. I'll just mention, too, that my book, Radiant Health Equals Beauty, just won a National Book Award a couple of weeks ago for Best Book in Health, Medicine, and Nutrition. So.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic. I know you worked you worked really hard on that book, Christine. You deserve
it. I did. It nearly killed me.
Yeah. I know.
Radiant Health
Equals Beauty.
And shaved years off my life.
Well, fortunately, you have the formula to regain
them. I do.
So I'd like to start off this conversation by asking you, what are your favorite strategies for reversing the aging process to maintain ageless beauty? What, you know, some of your strategies that you're working with at this time in your life?
Sure. Well, one thing, you know, a lot of times people will say to me, what's the most important thing, the one thing? And, you know, there isn't one thing, actually. It's you really have to do a kind of a comprehensive, holistic approach, and there's many different elements that are equally important in order to create extraordinary health and longevity. So everybody knows, you know, eating mostly a plant-based diet and organic and everything is really considered the best type of food that you can consume. But you can't really rely on that alone. Like I said, there's lots of, you know, other elements that are equally important to that. So, as I said, the food's super important, and I always, you know, recommend that you do organic as much as possible and as many plants as possible. And, you know, and I'm trained in Ayurveda, the traditional system of medicine from India. And that particular, you know, form of medicine is something that I really didn't learn anything about health until I learned about Ayurveda, basically. So it's really about all the you know, things that you need to do in order to create extraordinary health, and is based on fundamental principles or natural laws that govern us as human beings. So if you obey those laws, then your body goes into balance and it enhances your body's inner healing intelligence. If you disobey those laws, then your body will go out of balance and it obstructs the flow of that inner healing intelligence and it can't keep you well. So that's kind of the basis, you know, of it. And then, you know, everything that's recommended is the things that will help to put your body into balance. And, you know, another really important principle with it is that we're not all the same. So oftentimes, like in Western medicine, we see recommendations are very cookbook. I even see that in complementary and alternative, you know, techniques too. But in Ayurveda, they recognize at least 9 different body types. And we know if you just look around at your friends, you know that you're not all the same. And certain people, you know, can eat hot, spicy foods, for example, and have no problem. And another person who does that, you know, can instantly have digestion and disturb sleep and that kind of thing. So there's some very specific things based on what your unique constitution is. And then there's some general recommendations as well. So I'll just to give some general, you know, recommendations that would apply to everybody, you know, the elements that we know that are important besides eating a really healthy diet is also minimizing stress. So we know that stress is something that contributes, at least the National Institute of Health has said it contributes to 90% of all illnesses, chronic illnesses, being mental and physical. Ayurveda would say that it's even more than that. And so ancient cultures really recognized that the role that stress plays in damaging health, and so there was recommendations that were given. In Ayurveda, they recommended doing meditation, and I've practiced transcendental meditation for the past 20 years now. And then in traditional Chinese medicine, which is almost as old as Ayurveda, they recommended doing Tai Chi and Qigong. So most people have seen the big, you know, courtyards of people practicing that in the morning. And so thousands of years ago, it was really recognized that stress played this huge role, and that in order to minimize the damaging effects of it, that it's important to do what we call effective stress-reducing techniques. And basically, these techniques like meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, and yoga, that kind of thing, They're designed to train your nervous system to not respond as robustly as it normally would. And so you don't crank out the high levels of stress hormones, which is when they're chronically high, can cause all sorts of damage to the body. So it's really designed to be practiced every day. And it doesn't have to take that long, like Transcendental Meditation is 20 minutes twice a day. And it has absolutely profound effects. So one of the things that happened with Transcendental Meditation, Maharshi Mahesh Yogi brought that form of meditation to the United States in the 60s and 70s. A lot of people may remember that, where he taught the Beatles and Mia Farrow and everything. But he actually trained in college here in the States in physics, and he understood that in order for the Western culture to accept meditation, that we really needed to have research on it. And so that was a big focus of his. And there's been over 600 studies that have been done on transcendental meditation, the effects of it. And basically, what they found is that it's the most effective form of meditation as far as reducing anxiety. And it has a really profound effects kind of globally on you. So not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, even, you know, with relationships. And they've done some really fascinating studies where they've done some comparisons where they take people who have practice TM for at least 5 years, so they're doing 20 minutes twice a day, and then they compare it to a population of people that kind of matches, but they don't, you know, practice the technique. And one Canadian study that was done, they found that the people who practiced TM compared to those who did not, that those practicing the meditation were admitted to the hospital for 50% or less often for every single diagnosis that you could think of, including accidents, except for pregnancy. That was it. So just a simple mental technique, you know, can have such profound effects that it can cut your risk of, you know, every kind of chronic disease in half. So that's pretty spectacular. Another thing is, you know, moving our bodies. I mean, some of these things obviously everyone knows about, but exercise is critical and has a pure medicine effect on the body when it's done in the right amount, the right dosages, basically. So we were really designed to move, and we're really getting a much greater concept of this because of the research that's been done on the opposite of, like, what happens when people sit, you know, for too long. And so what we've discovered is that the human body was designed to move. There's kind of the Goldilocks thing where there's the right amount. You don't want to do too much because that actually can wear your body down and kick up oxygen-free radicals. But if you do the right amount, and that generally we're saying at least 30 minutes of brisk walking a day, and you can do, you know, more than that or add, you know, other activities, but it's meant to be a daily thing to move your body, is something that has, you know, just really amazing effects at keeping us healthy. And if you sit for more than 5 hours a day, even if you exercise, it actually will shorten your life because it's so damaging and increase your risk of chronic disease. But the amazing thing about the human body, and, you know, when I've done all my research, I've just been, like, astounded at how little you have to do in order to have a massive effect. I mean, it's kind of like I always think of our little internal healing intelligence inside of us just going, come on, man, give me anything. Just give me something. And you give her a little something, and it's like then there's this just really huge response. So, for example, a couple of years ago, there was a study that found that if people jogged for 5 minutes a day, that was it, 5 minutes of jogging, there was a 48% reduction in the incidence of cardiovascular disease. I mean, just ridiculous, I think, as far as how responsive the body is. Now, what they found, of course, as I mentioned, the sitting, you know, is something that's really deadly for us, but they found that if you get up and you walk around for just 2 minutes an hour, so if you're, you know, working at a desk or whatever, you get up and walk around for just 2 minutes, that's it, it takes away all the ill effects of sitting. So there's, I mean, to me, it's almost silly about how easy it can be to significantly improve your health or impact your health when you know, just some of these simple basic facts that you can do, where there's really no excuse about, like, I don't have time and all this kind of stuff. It's like, well, yeah, you do. You can, you know, you can fit that in. So moving your body, like I said, super, super important. Another one is sleeping. And that one, you know, it's like, okay, you could have the best diet in the world. You could be exercising. But if you don't sleep in the right dosages, the right times, then it has terrible, you know, detrimental effects to your health. So that's another one that's just, you know, equally important. And so from 5,000 years ago, Ayurveda said you need to go to bed by 10 o'clock and get up by 6 o'clock, and those are the optimal hours for sleep. Well, what modern research has found is that is exactly true, is that we have these hormonal fluctuations. So speaking of hormones, we have hormonal fluctuations that occur throughout the day and throughout the night. If you go to bed before 10 o'clock and you get up by 6 o'clock, those hormonal fluctuations are optimal. And I'm not talking just about like estrogen and testosterone and progesterone, those kinds of hormones, but also things like insulin, our stress hormones like cortisol, and all of these things kind of interact with each other too. They're not, you know, in isolation. And so what they found is that if you go to bed before 10 o'clock, there's a sleep hormone called melatonin. Most people have heard of that, and it's, you know, something that you can actually buy, you know, at the health food store, you use as a sleep aid. But our bodies naturally produce melatonin when it starts to get dark outside. And if you go to bed before 10 o'clock, there's actually a spike that occurs in melatonin between midnight and 2 a.m., which you don't want to miss, because if you do, the consequences are rather spectacular. And they found that melatonin is not just a sleep hormone, it's also a very powerful antioxidant. It also helps to stimulate the immune system. It also helps to regulate estrogen in the body and has, you know, many other functions. And so if you stay up late, your melatonin levels are really flattened and you miss out on all those important functions. And then in addition to that, it has these interactions with these other hormones. So what they've discovered is that if somebody stays up on a regular basis to midnight, for example, that their hormonal balances are so screwed up that they end up having almost twice the incidence of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and several different kinds of cancers, including breast cancer. So it's super important to get enough hours in, and the normal recommendation is seven to eight hours a night, and then the absolute times that you sleep is just as important, and, you know, try to get to bed by 10 o'clock. And if you've been a night owl, the recommendation is to go to bed 15 minutes earlier every week, so you can kind of naturally back your bedtime up to that before 10 o'clock and then before 6 o'clock getting up. And most people, when they do that, they can't believe how much better they feel and how much more energy they feel. And I can't tell you the number of patients and friends that I've had where maybe they were having menopausal symptoms and hot flashes and so forth, and when they started going to bed before 10 o'clock, their hot flashes went away because it just induces so much balance into the body. So those are some of my kind of basic ones that I recommend.
That's great. I was just kind of taking notes. I want to break some of this stuff down. I want to say that I agree with everything that you said, Christine, and just kind of want to put in some of my, you know, kind of way I work with some of these things. So the meditation piece, I just really want people to hear that meditation is not an option if you really want to stay healthy, if you want to rejuvenate. We have to do some form of meditation. Personally, I work with mindfulness meditation, which is really simple to do. It doesn't matter what kind of meditation practice you do, as long as you do it consistently. And the functional brain scans that are being done and people who meditate do show amazing changes. But one of the things that really impressed me, the more one meditates and these changes go on, the more you access the parts of the brain or activate the parts of the brain that have more ability for control, to follow through on intentions, actions, mm-hmm. and goals. So meditation just helps you to stick to any plan that you have in place for yourself. A big problem for so many of us is that we have a bright idea to do something, but it doesn't last very long, you know. So the meditation, I think, is just critical. And people just, you know, it's not about not having thoughts. It's learning how to do a technique that just keeps you present with what's going on, you know, just instead of, mm-hmm. instead of worrying. It's just you learn through your breath how to stay present. So that's one thing I just want to comment on. The other thing is exercise, which God is just, you know, it's just so critical, and I'm glad you said that 5 minutes of jogging is enough to have huge impact. I actually hate jogging. I'm just not built for jogging, you know, but I love riding my bike, and I live and work on the 19th floor, so I'm not so much going up a lot, but I'm going down a lot. You know, mm-hmm. I just take the steps, and I think that's a good thing to remind people. It's like go through the exit door, go down the steps, wherever you are, and get that little bit extra exercise, right? That just would be a lot better than even just walking to the office or wherever. You know, take some steps. So, and one thing I want to say, sarcopenia is a big problem of aging, especially for women and for people who don't know what that is. Just think of those wiggly arms. You know, you start losing your muscle mass. And I never was a very muscular person for whatever reason. But, you know, the older I got, the more I saw that loss of muscle mass. And you could really see it, of course, in our arms, especially underneath arm part. So I started to focus on weight training and working with weights that actually build the muscle mass and for upper body strength. And from someone who really had no strength in my upper body, or certainly didn't have any muscles to show, that's all changed. You know, I've just been really consistent. I just do like 15 minutes 3 times a week. I focus on the upper body because I ride my bike, and I hope that's enough for my lower body. But I have to say that women at any age can rebuild their muscle mass if you use it. And we know that building a muscle mass is really critical, not only because we like the way it looks and having those little nice cuts, you know, in your muscles, but it's it produces more mitochondria, which are the little energy batteries in our bodies. So the more muscle mass you have, the more you're generating energy, and the more you are building healthy bones. So I just wanted to share that. That was a revelation for me to really see how much can change, especially if you've never had a lot of muscle mass, you know, by just working it.
And it is amazing. So I have a slightly different story. I mean, I've always been an athlete, but, you know, I was a runner. I'm a runner.
Oh, well, you're built for running. You're a little gazelle, Christine.
So, I never went to the gym. I never worked out anything upper body. So I remember people doing massages on me going, God, just like you got, you know, just two different people here. You got your lower body that's got all the muscles from running, so nothing in your upper body. So, you know, when I decided to leave my practice as a plastic surgeon and go into natural health, I took some time off, like almost took a year off because I was just really burned out. And I thought, you know, watching that Terminator 2 movie, I always thought, I wonder what I could look like in bodybuilding, like Linda Hamilton. So that's what I did. So I did bodybuilding, and that was about 15 years ago. And then ever since then, you know, I cut way down from what I was doing. I turned into a gorilla, but I like lightened it up again. And I go to the gym like 3 days a week and lift weights, you know, for that whole thing. And so I actually turned 59 this year, and it was like, just going to 60. What am I going to do?
It's only a number. It's only a number.
But I thought, you know, I'm going to see if I can, like, you know, get even more sculpted and then do the splits for the first time in my life because I do ballroom dancing. So, I mean, in very short order, because I think because of the muscle memory or something like that, it's like, holy smokes, man. I mean, I have, like, really amazingly sculpted arms, you know, now again. Yeah. So definitely not too old. And there's a super inspirational video that you can look at on, like, on YouTube. There's, I forget her name, I think it's Ernestine or something like that. It's this really amazing black woman who lives in, I'm going to say, like, maybe Philadelphia or something. Never exercised her whole life. And then she and her sister, you know, made some pact. And I think maybe her sister died or something. And she decided, okay, that's it. She's going to, you know, take on you know, exercising. So at like age 56 or something like that, she starts working out for the very first time. And this woman's now, I'm going to say she's like 80 maybe. And
I've
she
seen
teaches,
her. I've seen her, yes. Oh, my
Phoenix
God,
classes.
What a body.
Oh, yes. I mean, she gets up in the middle of the night and goes for these long runs and is lifting weights every day. I mean, she looks unbelievable.
Yes, you wouldn't know
yeah.
that. This is a body. So it just goes to show that we can recreate our bodies at any age. And you know, one of the things that I really talk a lot about in my Rejuvenation Code workshops is how we have been programmed to think a number means something, right?
That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
so we have all these unconscious programmings, and I just watch television. Well, I do that very rarely because I don't have one, but when I'm around one, I watch those commercials, which of course take up just about as much time as any program you're watching. But what I noticed when I was, last time I was doing some TV watching, that the commercials are now very much geared to baby boomers and older people, and they're giving you solutions if you're incontinent, giving you solutions for your bones to go, for all your pain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's this commercial after commercial after
right.
commercial that is unconsciously, I believe unconsciously, programming us to expect what will happen to us as we go along in years. And it's the programming. Right? It's just, it's a brainwashing.
Well, yeah, you know, the pharmaceutical companies now own the airwaves, you know, so I was like you, I didn't have a television for, I don't know, 7-8 years or something, only watched videos, you know, movies on it or something, and so, oh, this was, you know, a while ago, maybe 8-9 years ago or something, I moved into a place that had a television, and so I thought, okay, I wonder what happened to the culture, and I was like, oh my God, I mean, first of all, it's dumbed down unbelievably with reality shows, but also, I was like, the pharmaceutical companies own the airways. So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely getting infused with that, you know, thinking that developing a chronic disease is normal as you get older. I think that's like most people that are like 65 and older, like 80% of them have some chronic disease. And we just think that that's normal. But, you know, the truth of it is, it's not. And, you know, in Ayurveda, it's like the whole intent of what you're doing with your health is that you should go very easily through all the different years of your life, and that, you know, ideally what you do is you naturally drop the body, you know, when you're ready to leave, and it doesn't have to be, you know, filled with incredible illness and everything. So it definitely, we need to change our consciousness about it, that that's not normal, and
yes.
and that it's very easy. Again, that's one of my key messages I always have, is that it's a lot easier than what you think, and that, you know, when you just conscientiously think about the most important things for you to do to keep your body healthy, and it's not like you have to live this incredibly austere life and drink wheatgrass every day and, you know, spend 20 hours in meditation, stuff like that. That's not required for you to be able to enjoy, you know, really excellent health. So it's a lot easier than you think, and lots of really simple practical things that you can do that make, you know, a huge difference.
And we really need to understand, people listening, I just really want you to appreciate that you can just start putting one little new strategy in today,
mm-hmm.
and it starts to build towards those little baby steps that take you in the direction. You
yeah.
can heal, regenerate, rejuvenate at any age, and there's a little saying that I like, personally, and it's just saying to people, you can, first of all, get younger and healthier every year. You
mm-hmm.
know, you can start going backwards when it comes to your age. You know, every year
mm-hmm.
you can celebrate 1 year younger in your birthday, but also to entertain the thought of dying healthy. Just
yeah.
like dying healthy.
I mean,
it's
yeah.
like, you know,
yeah.
it's like being healthy to our very last breath, and then it's time to move on and transition. But it doesn't have
right.
to be with pain and struggle, and it doesn't have to be with long debilitating illnesses. You know, we can be here one day and there the next. As I have learned from some of my teachers who knew it was their time, and they celebrated, literally my Hawaiian teacher, and she, you know, celebrated her life, and she got the message it was time for her to go home. And after she had a nice visit at the beach with her daughter, she went home, took a nap, and never got up. So we have to really reprogram ourselves on so many levels now, because how we're thinking now and what that thinking leads us to do determines how we're going to age, how our hormones are going to be functioning, and, you know, what happens to us down the track. We have to start right now making all positive changes we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and ideally, I mean, Chris, the sooner the better. And then, you know, this just brings to mind to me, too, about the importance about teaching younger people, parents, so they know with their children and everything, because we really are, you know, speaking of hormones, it's like we're really in an incredibly toxic world right now. There's so many different chemicals in our environment that will mimic the estrogen molecule, and so we're seeing this phenomenon now where the age of puberty is getting younger and younger, and so it's not uncommon for girls to start their periods at age 10 now, where if you look around the world, it's about age 16 or 17, and we think it's probably because of these estrogen mimicking molecules that can be found in just virtually everything, like plastics, why you don't want to microwave in plastics, it's pesticides, herbicides, it's, you know, heavy metals, even aluminum, or, you know, the mercury fillings that, you know, are sometimes put in the teeth, hopefully not too much anymore, but you know, that's...
No, they're just in the vaccines now.
Oh, God, let's not even go to that point, but... Yeah, so this early puberty is something that actually has some negative impacts for the rest of a person's life, really, on their health. And one of them, you know, my expertise is in breast cancer, and so one of them is that there's an increased risk of developing breast cancer up to 50%, actually, if you start your period at age 10 versus age 16 because of all the extra periods that you have. And with each period, there's a surge of estradiol, which is the strongest, most abundant form of estrogen and the one that's most linked to developing breast cancer. So that instantly kind of, you know, put somebody at some disadvantage, you know, to start periods early. So, again, you want your kids to just be doing nothing but organic, have non-toxic products in your house. I mean, just super important for that. The other thing that they've recently found that's a kind of a fallout of starting your periods early is that there's an increased incidence of those who start their periods early of going through early menopause. So they're finding that, you know, these girls that go through their periods at age 10, that some of them are actually starting menopause and their late 30s, even to their 40s or so. And, you know, one of the topics I've been talking about recently is the mistakes that women are making after age 40. And generally speaking, you know, this is a time period where we're super busy, where the careers are kind of in their heights, or, you know, we've got families and everything, and most women are feeling like they're invincible like they were in their 20s and 30s. But, you know, there's certain things that you can be doing that will help to improve your health tremendously and prevent you from developing, you know, diseases that you really need to be conscientious of in their 40s. But again, you know, one of the things I've been very upset about, again, because of being a breast surgeon and kind of an expert in breast cancer, is that if a woman starts to develop symptoms, menopausal symptoms like hot flashes and mood swings and night sweats and irritability and those kinds of things, it still seems to me that it's pretty common for, you know, women to go into their doctors and say, okay, this is happening, and then they're put on hormone replacement therapy. And way back in 2003, we found that with that Women's Health Initiative study that hormone replacement therapy didn't do what we were told it was supposed to do as far as all of its protective effects. And, in fact, it had lots of really negative effects with it as far as increasing the risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer and blood clots and gallbladder disease. And there was a study that I saw just last week where they, you know, did a kind of a follow-up on that, and they said, you know, this is definitely should not be ever prescribed for trying to, you know, reduce diseases because it actually causes more harm. And now, you know, I see people going, oh, I'll take, you know, bioidentical hormones, you know, instead. And, you know, one of the problems with that is we don't have, like, you have to have a 20-year study to follow up on breast cancer to get accurate data with it, and we don't have those long-term, you know, follow-up studies. you know, as far as the safety is concerned. And I always say, well, if a girl starts her period at age 10 versus age 16 and her risk of breast cancer goes up, isn't she producing bioidentical hormones? So to me, a much better way to approach it is to approach it naturally and safely. And most of the time we find that menopausal symptoms, you know, come from imbalances in our diet and lifestyle. So like I gave the example of telling my patients to go to bed by 10 o'clock and lo and behold, their hot flashes went away. So by inducing balance into your body, just cleaning up some of the stuff in your diet and lifestyle and everything, sometimes that can cause the symptoms to completely go away. And if you do need more help, then there's a number of plant-based products that have really excellent research on it that have been shown to be safe, too. They don't increase your risk of breast cancer, don't even work, you know, hormonally or anything. So one particular supplement that I just discovered a few months ago that I'm kind of interested in is called Relizen. It's spelled R-E-L-I-Z-E-N. So Relizen was discovered actually in Sweden. It's made from, they look like yellow daisies, basically, you know, from Sweden. And so what they found is that the Relizen is something that works non-hormonally, but it has this amazing effect at helping to reduce all sorts of different menopausal symptoms, such as the hot flashes and mood swings and irritability and, you know, sleep problems and things like that. And so we haven't really heard of it much in this country. It's been used in Europe, and in fact, it's the number one hot flash formula in France. But a few years ago, they brought it to this country, and they've actually studied it with the rigors of what they would do for a pharmaceutical medication. So they set up, you know, in university settings, they did double-blinded placebo-controlled studies and everything to document that it actually is extremely effective at helping and completely safe. Like they measured it against placebo and found that there was no increased risk of any kind of complications or side effects associated with it. So there's actually, this is kind of good news to me, is that they said there's about 2,000 OBGYNs that are now recommending Relizen to their patients instead of hormone replacement therapy, which is a good thing. But so, you know, so there, you know, to me, it's like, okay, that makes much more sense to use something where we've got documentation that it really works and that, you know, it doesn't have any horrible side effects. And in ancient cultures, almost all of them had some sort of plant that they used in helping to balance hormones or helping with menopausal symptoms. And so, for instance, in Peru or South America, they used maca, which we recognize as a superfood now, and it helps with energy but also balances hormones and works non-hormonally. Flax seeds, you know, is another thing that is well known to help with as far as reducing symptoms and the risks of breast cancer, but it also helps to balance feminine hormones, and there's been a lot of studies on that showing that it helps not only with menopausal symptoms but also with PMS. You know, black cohosh is something that Native Americans, you know, used here in the U.S., and all of these have, you know, studies on them showing that they're pretty effective. So, again, my approach, do it naturally, do it safely, and really work on bringing your body, you know, into balance. But, yeah, super important for that.
Yeah, such a good point. And I just want to emphasize, and this is, well, a couple of things I want to just share from what you were saying. Number one, first thing I want to say is I actually wrote a book called What Mothers Must Know to Protect Their Daughters from Breast Cancer. I actually investigated this phenomenon of women in their early 20s, 30s being diagnosed with breast cancer and kind of the causes. And the precocious puberty part of it really concerned me. This out of 6 8-year-olds are going into puberty, and you know, the average age is 10 and a half now. I mean, that never existed before in the history of humanity, that young girls were now developing, you know, developing or menstruating, and all the consequences, including, as you said, the greater risk of breast cancer in their lifetime, early menopause, but infertility issues and, you know, endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. I mean, it's an aberration, actually. An aberration to be doing that. So I just want to emphasize that there's a real big concern, and we need to do certainly clean up our diet and our environment. When you have infants, babies, pregnancy, ideally before you're pregnant, ideally for any of us right now, because the bisphenol A that drives these estrogen levels that contribute to precocious puberty also are obesogens, so they affect our insulin levels as well. So that was one thing I want to say. And the other thing, for me, that's kind of my my little soapbox that I carry around is, because I was in my early 40s and I was getting hot flashes and night sweats and all the things that could be diagnosed as menopause or early menopause. But I think that we use that term much too frequently and inappropriately. These are symptoms of imbalance, and that's what you were saying as well, Christine. You know, their adrenal exhaustion, their insulin resistance, they are low thyroid issues, their gut issues, their, you know, too much alcohol, sugar in our diet issues, their lack of sleep issues. To put women on hormones in their 40s or even at menopause could actually create so much more harm than good, because it's inappropriate. It's not what is required to restore balance to our to the systems that are manifesting as these symptoms that women are dealing with. And that's an area of such ignorance in our culture. I think it's a great deal of ignorance in the medical profession, and I'd like your thoughts about that.
Sure. So I haven't actually, when I do speaking engagements and stuff, I do this funny little skit where somebody asks me a question about this, and I'm like, okay, so let's say that you're, you know, you're living your life, and it's like, well, you know, you're doing things that are throwing your body out of balance, and you have this little internal healing intelligence inside of you who goes, excuse me, I don't like what you're doing. And you're thinking, do I hear anything? Heck no. And you just keep doing the same stuff, you know, that you're doing, staying up too late at night, not exercising, eating sugar, doing all that kind of stuff. Well, then she gets really mad and she starts going, hey, I really don't like what you're doing. And you stick your fingers in your ears and you go, la, 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 I don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden you got hot flashes and mood swings and all this stuff because she's screaming at you. And then what do? You say, oh, I'm going to go to the doctor. And what's the doctor say? Let's shut her up. Let's give her hormones. Instead, you should be asking, oh, I'm sorry. What am I doing that you don't like? And now let me change those things and make you happy. So, you know, the symptoms that we have are really, you know, our body talking to us and saying, hey, you're doing stuff that's really out of balance. And for the most part, I'm dear friends also with Nancy Lonsdorf, who's an Ayurvedic doctor. And she, you know, works really, one of her specialties is working with women with hormonal problems. And so, you know, in talking with her, she's like, well, you know, you can just do the simplest thing sometimes with just kind of correcting, getting people to eat their main meal at noontime, going to bed by 10 o'clock, just some simple, you know, things for them. And she said in the vast majority of everybody that she works with, even if the most severe menopausal symptoms, that within a few weeks, just from rebalancing their bodies, their symptoms completely go away. And it's very rare, you know, when somebody persists in having, you know, issues where they might need some additional assistance. But again, it's your body talking to you and telling you that something's off, you know, and once you change that, then, you know, you feel so much better. I was thinking about the retreat thing that you were talking about that you're going to do in Costa Rica. And, you know, one of the things in Ayurveda they talk about doing is this detoxification. That's another thing that's really important, too. So 5,000 years ago, they recognized that, you know, we accumulate toxins in our body. This is way before there was chemical toxins on the planet. But recognizing that just emotional toxins, actually, emotions have been now shown to have more influence on our health and diet and smoking and even genetics. So that's a whole other, you know, area to talk about. But basically, you know, what Ayurveda said is that we accumulate these toxins in our body, and it's really important to get the toxins out a couple times a year. Just, you know, take some time out and to do that. And they have a program called Pancha Karma. And Pancha means five and Karma means actions. But that was the way I was introduced to Ayurveda. And it sounds like it might be uncomfortable or unpleasant or painful, but it's not. You go to what's like a luxurious spa, like treatments and lots of massage and hot oils and, you know, really trying to move these toxins, you know, out of the body. And I was there the first time I went to the Panchakarma clinic. I was there for 3 days. But after 48 hours, I looked in the mirror, and I looked 10 years younger and never felt better in my life. And I thought, oh, my God, these people know something. And that's, you know, how I ended up, like, studying Ayurveda and becoming certified in it. So doing something like you're talking about where, you know, taking a week off and doing a retreat like that where you're just really kind of rebooting yourself, I think it's so powerful to do that. I mean, sometimes we do things in little teeny increments and everything, but it's almost like taking that time off to do the detox or do, you know, something like that. It's like you just, like, shift, you know, really quickly into a much more balanced state of your physiology. You feel a million times better. You look a million times better. And it kind of really kickstarts, you know, my opinion is it kind of kickstarts your health. And once you get yourself into this a reasonable state of balance, your body actually craves more balance instead of, you know, craving, you know, your addictions and things that take you out of balance. It kind of kicks you over into that place, and then you're thinking, okay, what else can I do to make myself feel better? So it makes it a lot easier, you know, to stick with a healthy program then when you get yourself into that state.
Yeah, and I think it's great if people can take a, you know, a chunk of time, like for a week, just out of their you know, their routine and the, you know, their normal environment, and go somewhere that's so healing and so nurturing, and really open themselves to have a quantum leap. And that's what the program is all about, is giving people an opportunity to have a quantum leap in how they look at the world and how they feel. There was I just want to say that in my last program when I was in Rhythmia in Costa Rica, there was a gentleman who came. He was 80 years old, and he was kind of pretty cranky. He wasn't very happy. He was on two sticks, you know. He was, like, walking around with these, like, two, you know, these walking sticks, and because it was really hard for him to walk. And after 2 days of being there and eating organic food and getting these massages, he was even starting to learn some yoga. He actually stood up straight. He didn't need those walking sticks. But most importantly, there was a smile on his face. And I saw this man that was really angry and unhappy turn into this amazing, joyful being who rediscovered himself.
In very short order, yeah.
He got truly younger and healthier, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah, this is, you know, and whether you go away for a period of time or, you know, just take some time off during each day, which is why meditation or yoga or Tai Chi or, you know, getting out in nature and walking a little bit is a key to hormonal balance. Yeah, many people listening, including men, of course, may not think that that is a strategy for hormonal balance, but when you understand that it's stress that drives all our systems to go haywire and wacky, and it can contribute to the hot flashes and the night sweats and the insomnia and the mood swings, you can begin to understand why those simple strategies can have such a huge impact on your health and your hormones.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, I'm also mentioned, there's a few, like, I have another chapter in my book on certain, like, key nutritional supplements that I recommend too. And, you know, people will ask me about that. And it's like, well, yeah, if you're eating a vegetarian diet and even juicing it, there's still things that you can't get in the same concentration, you know, in a food that can be really incredibly beneficial for your health. So, for instance, you were talking about hormones. Well, vitamin D3, right, is actually considered a hormone in our body. And there's been really an explosion of research on this vitamin hormone, we'll call it, in the last, you know, decade or so. And they found that it's really something that is important for the normal function and physiology of every cell in our body. And it's when it's low, which is actually low in 80% of Americans is what they've, you know, estimated, then you can have a whole slew of health problems associated with it because it's important for your immune system. So you get immune system drop with it. It's, you know, important for your bones that we know of, you know, too. But it's also been shown to, if it's it's low, it increases your risk of like Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, certain cancers, breast cancer, you know, and so forth. And if you take supplemental vitamin D and get your levels in that therapeutic range, then you know, all of these various different horrible things that can happen to you when it's low, you know, drastically improve. I remember reading a study where they did a prospective study using the vitamin D3 supplements and then followed people into the future, which is where we get the best information, and they found that the incidence of breast, prostate, and colon cancer was cut in half, you know, in those people. Now, the only way that you know, like, how much vitamin D you should be taking is to get your levels checked, because everybody kind of metabolizes it differently, and one person might need a few thousand, and somebody else might need 5,000 or 10,000 international units a day. So you don't actually need to go to a doctor's office for that. There's a website called powerofd.org, and you can order a kit, which is sent to your house, and it has instructions. You just basically prick your finger, put a dot of blood on that, send it in, and they tell you what your levels are, and then you can adjust, you know, how much you're taking per day for that, and then it's recommended to check again every 6 months just to kind of stay on top of that. And this same organization is going to come out with a kit for omega-3 fatty acids, too, so you can measure those. Those are the healthiest types of fats, you know, that we should consume. And, again, super important for normal physiology, reduces inflammation, helps with cell membrane, you know, function, reduces your risk of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease. I mean, you can just go on and on. So getting enough omega-3 fatty acids in every day is super important. And, again, this kit is going to be available, I think, through that same website where you can order.
What's that website, Christine?
It's called Power of D. Dot
Power
org.
Of D. Okay.
Powerofd.org, okay. Where you can order that. And the Grassroots Association or something is, you know, the one that's running these studies. But they're, like I said, they're going to have this kit. I mean, it should be out at any time now, where you can, you know, measure your own omega-3 fatty acid levels too. And
which is really important.
Done it. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And they're kind of surprised because they were taking, you know, adequate amounts. They thought they were, but yet their levels were still kind of low. Yeah.
And I just want to say, part of, as we kind of wind things up, but I have to just say that because vitamin D and the omega-3, of course, are all fatty, you know, vitamins, they're fat-based, mm-hmm. fat-soluble vitamins, if people have impaired digestion and they don't make enough of
right.
the lipase, the digestive enzyme for fats, then that
right.
is another reason why they're low. So it's like it's a holistic journey
yes.
to bring all
yeah.
the pieces together. It's
sure
not
is.
Just
yeah.
one solution, right?
Nope. Nope.
You know, as we come to the end of this great conversation, what is the best website, Christine, for people to find you and to get a copy of Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, and your previous book, Waking the Warrior Goddess, as well?
So my website, which is drchristinehorner.com, that's drchristinehorner.com. So on my website, my books are available. They're also, you know, available at every place else, you know, Barnes & Nobles and Amazon. And if you want an autographed copy, you know, you can get that from my website. And I've got a free newsletter, you know, you can sign up for, and, you know, all sorts of tips and tricks and videos and things like that on the website as well. And I also offer consultations, telephone consultations for people. Actually, I do things all over the world on Skype, too, mostly helping people that are newly diagnosed breast cancer patients with an integrative approach so that they get much better outcomes.
Well, I know you're so busy doing great things out there in the world. And,
thank you.
You know, and I certainly appreciate the work you're doing and your perspective and how you're really empowering women with the kind of knowledge that really lets them get healthier and appreciate their bodies and how amazing our bodies are. And we can keep that body balanced and hormonally balanced as we go through our life. You know, it's such a big mission you're on. So thank you so much for the great work you're doing. And as always, it's just so much fun having you on the show, Christine.
Thanks. And I've returned the compliment to you. I mean, likewise. we're on the same mission and path.
We are indeed. We could talk for hours, but we have to stop here. The show's come to the end. But thank you so much again. And drchristinehorner.com is the website. Go check it out. And until next time, thanks for joining me today. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.